From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Acts chapter 5 and verse 31. Him hath God exalted. Jesus our Lord, once crucified, dead, and buried, now sits upon the throne of glory. The highest place that heaven affords is His by undisputed right. It is sweet to remember that the exaltation of Christ in heaven is a representative exaltation. He is exalted at the Father's right hand. And though, as Jehovah, He has eminent glories in which finite creatures cannot share, yet as the Mediator, the honors which Jesus wears in heaven are the heritage of all the saints. It is delightful to reflect how close is Christ's union with His people. We are actually one with Him. We are members of His body, and His exaltation is our exaltation. He will give us to sit upon His throne, even as He has overcome and is set down with His Father on His throne. He has a crown, and He gives us crowns too. He has a throne, but He is not content with having a throne to Himself. On His right hand there must be His Queen, arrayed in gold of Ophir. He cannot be glorified without His bride. Look up, believer, to Jesus now. Let the eye of your faith behold Him with many crowns upon His head. And remember that you will one day be like Him, when you shall see Him as He is. You shall not be so great as He is, you shall not be so divine, but still you shall, in a measure, share the same honors, and enjoy the same happiness and the same dignity which He possesses. Be content to live unknown for a little while, and to walk your weary way through the fields of poverty, or up the hills of affliction. For by and by you shall reign with Christ, for He has made us kings and priests unto God, and we shall reign forever and ever. O wonderful thought for the children of God! We have Christ for our glorious representative in heaven's courts now, and soon He will come and receive us to Himself, to be with Him there, to behold His glory, and to share His joy.
Christ Jesus, born He was.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubts, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. Pastor Tomassian continues this series from 1 Thessalonians. He is focusing on verses 16 and 17 of chapter 2. Having preached the gospel to the people of Thessalonica, Paul and Silas were forced to leave because of opposition by the Judaizers. In his concern for those believers, Paul wanted to return and encourage them. But Satan put various roadblocks in the way. Paul feared that the new Christians would be made to think that he had abandoned them, and so bring the truth of the gospel into question. Now here is the Reverend Armin Tomassian with the next portion of this message entitled, Satan Hindering.
Everything in the sense that is opposed to life and good and right and justice and equity, everything in opposition to that has its foundation, has its source in the devil himself, the great destroyer. As I say, there are many names given to him, many descriptions. He's also called the tempter, the prince of devils, the wicked one, your adversary, the god of this world, the prince of this world, that old serpent, and so on and so forth. And he is the enemy of the Lord and of the people of God. And he is a very powerful force. Of that there is no doubt. Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us. It takes a lot to hinder the Apostle Paul. It's not some simple thing. The Apostle Paul is not the kind of person... I remember one of our ministers in Northern Ireland, he would talk about, you know, we're meant to be pulling down the strongholds of the devil. He said the average Christian can't even have, doesn't even seem to possess the power to get up and turn off the television set when something comes on that they shouldn't be watching. Never mind pulling down the strongholds of the devil. That's true. We're very weak. We are very weak. But Paul generally wasn't like that. Paul manifests tremendous spiritual strength. He's a soldier of the cross, if ever there was one. And he says, Satan hindered us, so let us not underestimate the foe that we face. So we have the person of Satan. We also have then the persecution of Satan. Satan hindered us. He says, he hindered us. This word hindered, again, is a compound word of the meaning to cut with the preposition in. So to cut into is the idea. To impede one's course is the sense. Sometimes used in warfare as a tactic to, like, digging trenches and so on to impede the progress of others. Well, this is what Satan is about. He is about digging trenches, digging holes, putting obstacles in the path that slow people down, that hinder them. That's the idea that Paul is putting before us here. And this is what he experienced. Satan hindered. He cut away in our path and prevented us from making the progress that we desired. He uses the word in a similar context in Romans 15, verse 22, and this is relation to the church at Rome. He had not been there at this stage. He says, for which cause I also have been much hindered from coming to you. And then he uses the same word in application to Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, where he is dealing with this horrendous and an amazing scene of individuals that have departed from the gospel. He asks them the question, in Galatians 5, 7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Who is cutting a trench around you? Who is actively working to stop your progress in enjoying the gospel? And of course, at the heart of it, while you may give certain names, the Judaizers and so on, that were actively persecuting and trying to distort the gospel in the region of Galatia, yet again, behind them was their great commander-in-chief, the devil himself. He is hindering, constantly about the business of hindering. Now, in the context here, we have no idea what Satan was doing to hinder Paul. Various suggestions have been made, even in relation to the context previously dealt with, that of the Jews and their activity of trying to stop the progress of the gospel to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, verse 16. That may be the case, it may be the Jews, or it may be something else entirely different to that. We have no idea. Paul does not elaborate upon it. He just says, Satan hindered us. We tried to get back, and Satan hindered us. That's the sense. That's it. Satan was working to prevent us from returning to your presence. And really, that's all the point that we need to draw from this. That's all Paul really would have us learn, is that Satan is in the business of hindering the work of God. He is, beloved. We have all sorts of interests. We're very different people. You have different interests. I have different interests. Different things that make you tick. Some of you are into sports. Many of you may be into sports, but you're into different sports. Different hobbies, different activities, different ways of winding down, different ways of relaxing, different ways of whatever. We are very, very different. When it comes to Satan, he really has one thing in mind. Destroy the kingdom of Christ. Do his level best to oppose everything the Lord Jesus Christ is about. That's what he lives for. His whole existence is manifested in that way. From the very beginning chapters of our Bibles, we see that. He doesn't let up for a second. He's in there immediately trying to distort what God has said to his people and his purposes for them. According to the parable of the sower, he steals away the seed of the word from hearts. He does that. He is the foils of the air that steal away the seed of the word. That is Satan's work. According to another parable, he sows tares among the wheat. So he comes and pollutes the harvest. He sang of it, false sons in her pail. He's doing that. That's his work. Matthew 4, we read that he tempted Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, he blinds sinners and opposes the gospel. Exodus 7:11, he performs counterfeit miracles. John 8:44, he lies. 1 Corinthians 7:5, he tempts Christians. 2 Corinthians 2:11, he seeks to take advantage of them. And so on and so forth. You go through your Bible, you'll see it for yourself. He is constantly opposing, hindering, cutting trenches around to cause Christians to stumble and prevent the forward progress of the gospel. You may remember that portion in Matthew 16 where Peter, upon hearing that the Lord's intention was to go to Jerusalem to lay down his life, he opposes that. He rebukes the Lord. And the Lord's response on that occasion in Matthew 16:23 are found in these words, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offence unto me. Thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Because Peter opposed Christ going to the cross, because Peter opposed Christ fulfilling the Father's will, the Lord says, Satan. Peter, you're doing the work of Satan. We should just stop there and consider the fact that Christians can do the work of Satan. I already said to you that Paul uses the word for devil, diabolos, in relation to false accusers, and applies that to those that are believers. On this occasion, he says to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Believers can do the work of the devil. On the occasion whenever Mary brought the box of ointment of spikenard, which was very precious, to present it before the Lord, you will see it very clearly when you bring all the passages together that deal with that event. You will see Christians, believers, doing the work of the devil. Because Judas, whom we're told had a devil, opens up his mouth immediately upon seeing her sacrifice and says, "This could have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor." Immediately brings slander. Slander. That's really what it is. It's disguised in language of piety. It could have been given to the poor. This was a poor decision, Mary. You really did not get it right here. It's slander against her devotion. Even at the heart of where she is doing an act of devotion that was memorable. A time where she is pouring out her heart and affection toward the Lord. Oh, think of it. You can sit in the Lord's house or have times of your own times of prayer when you're being most devout toward Christ. The devil's there. He's right there. Mary had gotten herself to a point where she takes this valuable item that belonged to her and motivated herself to show her love for Christ, to stand even publicly with all the disciples surrounded. That wasn't her desire, but it was an opportunity that she took, and she brings that box of ointment, presents it to the Lord, and immediately the slander is there. This could have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. And you know what? I think as Mark records it in Mark 14. And they all murmured against her. All the disciples. They all. He begins it. Judas, the one who had a devil, he begins it. He instigates it. He speaks it first. Then they all murmured against her. You can just see the ripple effect. Oh yes. Oh yes, of course. Yes, that's very right. You're right there, Judas. Yes, Mary. Why did you not think of that? This was an awful waste. the devil's work. 11 men, grounded in the truth, taught by the Master Himself, doing the devil's work. And Peter does it here as well in Matthew 16. Anything that opposes the work of redemption or a manifestation of praise for the work of redemption is satanic. In all of Satan's activity to prevent the redemptive work of Christ coming to pass and being applied to the hearts of men and women, he is there to oppose it. And those who will stand in opposition to thanksgiving for the work, they are doing the devil's work as well. And Satan, or Peter, was about this. He was opposing the Lord, fulfilling the redemptive plan, and the Lord calls him Satan. Let us not be found among such a number. We have seen then the reaction to Satan's activity, the recognition of Satan and his activity. We then come, thirdly and finally, to see the reality of our Savior's sovereignty. The reality of our Savior's sovereignty. While it may appear that Satan was exercising some control here, I do not want us to miss the fact that Christ is sovereign over everything that is going on. Everything. It may be said here, although Satan meant it for evil, the Lord meant it for good. He did. And I'm just going to mention a few things that highlight the sovereignty of Christ in this, and you could maybe go ahead and meditate more upon it to the edification of your own soul. Sovereignty of Christ and what was going on here. First, Christ's sovereignty is seen in the fact that the church was planted in the first place. Had Satan had his way, Paul would never have made it to this city, would never have made it into the synagogue, would never have made it to open up the Word and to have the influence that he had initially during that time. It's not like he was unaware of the apostles' intent when he went there. He's following him the whole way. You think of the language that the Lord says to Satan about Job, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Well, he had. You read and you see, well, yes, but you put a hedge around him. You have been watching him. Satan has so desired to get his hands upon Job. He wanted an opportunity to pull down that holiest of men. And so it was for Paul. Satan was following him everywhere. Everywhere he went. When he was in Philippi, he was there. He moves into Thessalonica, he is there. He is there. Satan is there. He knows what's going on. So if Satan was exercising some degree of sovereignty here, Paul would have been hindered getting there in the first place. He never would have made it. But Paul does make it. He comes right into that city and he plants a church. I think that's wonderful. I think it's wonderful just to consider that with all that the enemy endeavors to do, every faithful church stands as a witness that even though he was exercising all of his might, he failed. He failed miserably.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.